And as ISIS makes ground in the Anbar province in Iraq, there are some Australians who have gone over to fight with the radical and brutal militant group who have decided that it's not for them. So some of the Australians who have been fighting with ISIS in Syria and Iraq have now indicated to the government and lawyers that they want to come home. Tony Abbott, though, is not so impressed with this notion. Yesterday, the Prime Minister's response to this fact that there's three Australians who want to come home says, a crime is a crime is a crime, and if you go abroad to break Australian law, if you go abroad to kill innocent people in the name of misguided fundamentalism and extremism, if you go abroad to become an Islamist killer, well, we're hardly going to welcome you back in this country. Let's get a response to this issue, because there are those calling for the government to let these people back so they can help with the de-radicalisation of Australian youth. Dr. Tim LeGrand is from the National Security College at ANU. He's speaking here with James Carlton.
The problem of radicalisation isn't going to go away overnight, and we need to think long-term about how we handle this. Handling it means we address the narratives at source, we tackle them head-on, and the best people to tackle those narratives are those who have been to Iraq and Syria and seen support of these foreign groups and come back and say, actually, it isn't what it seems. Those messages you see online, the YouTube clips you see in support of Islamic State are false. And they can bear witness and testimony to that. That's a very powerful message.
But those people don't exist in Australia, because they're either still in country or they want to come back but can't.
Well, that's right. And I think the government's sending the wrong message by saying that there's no pathway back. And I think that's a dangerous message. It doesn't better promote safety in Australia, because there's no pathway by which we can allow young people to come back to Australia and actually work in support of the Australian governments to say, look, Islamic State is an organisation which is lying to you.
Yet if the government did give that message, come back to give the counter-terrorism narrative, they'd be lying, because under Australian law you must go to jail.
At the moment, that's right, the government is looking to apply the law 100% across to anyone who they can find evidence of having fought in Iraq and Syria. However, the big problem there is, of course, that the evidence collection in Iraq and Syria is so poor that the Australian policing and security agencies find themselves often very unable to prosecute.
And we have Australians, we know, who are fighting with the Al-Qaeda-linked Jabhat al-Nusra against Islamic State. They want to come back. We know there are Australians with Islamic State who want to come back. And we know there are Australians with the Kurds who want to come back. Mm. All three are denied by the laws.
That's correct.
And yet, even if they do return, they face a limited risk of prosecution because of the sparsity of evidence.
And I think that really the strategy the government has gone with, basically saying we'll prosecute anyone coming back, I think is misguided, because at the end of the day, this is going to be a long-term problem, which means that we want to be able to collect intelligence from individuals who want to come back.
Having said that, why would the government want to allow back into Australia someone who gets his son to hold up the severed head of an enemy and may harbour a desire to enact terrorism in Australia?
Well, of course, I don't think anyone would ever suggest that we would want an open door and let anyone come back in. I think the right thing to do would be to obviously prosecute anyone who's committed any heinous acts, any acts of violence. The police and security agencies should be well guarded against that as a possibility, and really to tackle anyone who has committed any acts. But I think that we can hold up those individuals of those who have committed acts of violence and say, well, that's it, let's shut the door on everyone. Or we can take a sensible, nuanced approach and recognise that some of those individuals who haven't committed acts of violence, so perhaps young men, young women, who've gone out to support, perhaps, and offer, there's a young man who's out there as a doctor at the moment, I understand. Those are individuals who we do want to say, look, if you haven't committed any acts of violence, perhaps you're in a better position to offer us some intelligence and evidence on what is going out in Iraq and Syria. Because now our security and intelligence agencies face a black hole of intelligence out there, and this is one way in which they could collect better intelligence and thus safeguard Australia even more.
But if the law must be applied as it is, how can these transfers take place in any event?
Well, I think the government can perhaps consider weakening or loosening the restrictions on the laws themselves. That's within their power to do so. Or they may try to think of a way in which the police can apply or offer discretion in the way in which they apply the law.
What is the experience in Denmark with dealing with Danes who have fought in Syria and Iraq?
So the Danish government have taken quite an interesting approach and have put in place a mechanism by which young men and women who have gone overseas to fight in Iraq and Syria are able to indicate that they are willing to come home and they want to be reintegrated back into their society. And so they have put in place a de-radicalization program which allows these young men and women to come back, and through a structured program that they are supervised, interviewed by policing and security agencies to better determine whether or not, what sort of experiences they've had, what intelligence they can offer, and also what kind of counter-narratives they can offer to young men and women in Denmark thinking about coming home. It's quite a holistic and novel approach, and I think it's one that we should certainly involve in a public dialogue.
Isn't there a risk, though, that a Dane may use that to come back to Denmark with malice?
I think there is a risk with this whole issue. There's risks everywhere. I think this is one way in which we can minimise some of the long-term risks by allowing people to come back into the country on the radar, so we know who they are, where they are, they can be monitored. So there's another risk, of course, that we merely entrench the problem in Iraq and Syria by saying, the door's closed, you must stay there. Well, then what choice do these individuals have except to stay with these groups? I think there's a danger in that. If we open the door and allow these individuals to come back, well, then we potentially weaken the ranks and weaken the support mechanisms of the awful groups fighting out there.
Dr. Tim LeGrand from the National Security College at the ANU speaking with James Carlton.